I'll size you up and I'll cut you down.
But if I feel like you're getting the best of me, I have no problem being on my phone the whole show.
I have so much stuff on my phone.
I even have an alarm on my phone.
I have the newest phone.
It looks really cool.
I know there's a new phone coming out soon, but I'm not worried about it at all.
I'm putting the photos from here on my computer. That way, when the new phone comes out, I can put them on that phone from the computer.
Even if something goes crazy, I'll still have those photos on that computer safe and sound.
And there we go. I've got tone. Good to hear. All right, everybody, welcome to the podcast. We are recording. We're Matt and Bob. We're here to pod about I Think You Should Leave. It's a big one for Bob. And touch a little Barry later. You're listening to the analysis. Bob, take the floor. This is a big day for you.
Hands check. Oh, my God. There's no way we're going to do this service. I have no idea. I'm such a huge fan of the show. It's...
Oh, my God. He's sucking his own cock, everybody.
Can't reach. We've been on this podcast and reviewed both the seasons of I Think You Should Leave. If you follow me at all on social media, even some of these random sketches that come out outside of the space of I Think You Should Leave, like Concrete Halloween, I watch like random appearances he has on Tim Heidecker's podcast, Office Party. I'm just the biggest.
Now's the time I get my Halloween stuff. What am I supposed to not get my Halloween stuff?
Really?
Might be my favorite outside of the realm.
Yeah.
Whatever that was, troll.
And just like this countdown I had to I Think You Should Leave, and you know, I just like I never really feel like we're going to be able to do the experience of watching the show justice here in just a sober mindset, like talking while the sun's up. But really excited to come in and talk about just where this show occupies space in my mind, my personality. But also talk about just some of our favorite sketches that we had from season 3.
Yeah, that's the best part. It's like what worked, what was funny, charting the laughs. Chart the laughs.
Chart
could be
the
fun
laughs.
To go over. Which I want to get into that with you, because that's the best part about a sketch show is what was funny and where did you laugh. Is this the first time you're talking or consuming Tim Robinson material without a gummy? I mean,
yes.
Okay.
Super legal.
So we got sober
super
Bob here.
Sober Bob. I've watched this show 4 times now. So the show came out a couple Tuesdays ago. So we're probably like 11 days past when we're recording this. And I've already gone through 4 different sits through the show. And I guess that's where we can start. Is the first pass, you can never really understand how you feel. And you just, anybody, I've had so many people texting me, or I'm a huge catalyst for this show in my office. Like, I'm just constantly forcing people to watch the show. I was Carl Havoc 2 years ago for Halloween. Just
great
forced everyone. Thank you. I'll put it up on social media here on our social media. But I forced everyone to stop the party and watch the Carl Havoc sketch so they had a reference to what my costume was. But they were just dying.
Total
or at least
scratch.
In my mind, they were all laughing really hard. But so anyway, I'm just constantly forced. So look, because I'm an advocate, people are like, hey, what'd you think about season 3? And I'm like, I can't say yet until I've gone three or four sits past, because, you know, there's different sketches that grow on you over time. And he's so memeable, and he's so perfect for social media and, you know, TikTok and everything else. And so, you know, it's like, I don't know yet. There's some stuff that jumps out to you immediately. But then, like, for example, season 2, like, you had the Haunted Mansion tour, you had Carl Havoc, you had, obviously, Cough and Flop. Some of those were just, like, right in my Q zone, as
heavy,
I like
heavy
to say.
Hitters, yeah. I was just saying, like, imagine being at a party and everyone's got to show you their the inspiration for their costume references. Like,
yeah.
So after you watch the Carl Havoc, you're like, I'd like to watch the Outlaw of Josie Wales that explains my costume.
Yeah. Do you see Red Dead Redemption? I'm just going to show you a little bit of gameplay here, just so you can understand this nuanced character from a chapter of the story.
Yeah, that would be actually a costume party where it needs to be a very deep nuanced reference that only 10% of the party will understand.
That's people that know me all too well. I mean, it's like I kind of have to walk around with a TV of Seinfeld on my chest.
Yeah,
to people understand my shorthand. The thing about the meme stuff, it's like so I had a lady friend over. I was like, oh my god, I think you should leave. Just released. Let's fire this up before because we were gonna watch Sideways because she had never seen it. I was like, well, before we get into that, this thing just got put out. Let's check out the first episode. It's only 15 minutes. She had no prior knowledge of who this person was or the show, and it's just this guy screaming into every sketch, and it was just like not her thing. It was like a total is killing the mood big time. And there was a little laugh at Fred Armisen, but
straight sets
not the play if people are not familiar with this type of comedy, just to parachute in. But what you were saying about how it takes a few viewings to kind of really, because even, like the first sketch where it's like, if I'm losing the argument, I have no problem being on my phone.
Oh, Barley.
I didn't necessarily laugh out loud right away, mostly because the woman next to me was so not having a good time immediately. But I saw a meme the next day about like, it was like a wine account, blah, 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 me. But at a meeting, and just the guy's like curled up on his phone. I was like, oh my god, this is so much more fun now because it's someone picked that out as being funny to them, and it's a meme already. And now it's like, oh yeah, I guess I enjoyed that more than I thought at first blush.
I got a black phone with a black case. I got an alarm on my phone. Jousting games, obviously. Medieval games, obviously. Like, it's just immediately, like, it becomes a part of my personality, and I have an associate, another trainer that works in my department, and it's just like, it's people have to start watching the show to understand her and I shorthand, because we just communicate so quickly between each other with just references, because she's up on it as well. And so it's just like, people are like, I've started to watch the show just so I can understand what the fuck you guys are talking about.
Definitely. That's, we talked a little about with, back when Papa was on and talking about beef and how, there's no real water cooler talk unless it's like, Sundays on HBO with Succession or whatever. But meme culture has brought that back, where if you don't get a meme, you kind of have to seek out the show or the reference.
Yeah, it's like, what is this?
Get it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. What does sloppy steaks mean? And so that's the cool thing.
Everyone's asking that.
It is a community. It is a community that I think you should leave community. Like, we get it. And different things come up after you've watched it, or you've kind of locked into some of your favorite sketches. Some of these other nuanced ones and bits come up, and they end up becoming a regular part of your life, and you grow an affection for them later. So like Dangerous Nights Crew and the Sloppy Steaks and stuff like that, it's like, oh, that hair will push back real nice, slick back. And you just like that was a sketch that didn't necessarily jump out to me the first few times I watched season two, and then I love Dangerous Nights Crew now. So I'm still finding new discoveries even through a 4-sit, and it really is. This is my Top Gun Maverick. Last year you saw Top Gun Maverick like 6 times in the theater. It was just, just every time you came back to it, it gave you those hits of endorphins. It's like that's what happens with me, and I think you should leave.
Zero drop off of enjoyment. Now, so you're a bit more forgiving on the back end of the sketches than me.
Yes.
I think if I don't laugh, I'm sat there in silence. Like, I'm not really chuckling or smiling. It's like laugh or zero laugh. There's kind of, and again, that's a first viewing, especially season 3. I've gone back to the first 2 a few times. I still enjoy watching the Netflix characters, the Tim Robinson episode.
If you guys haven't seen that and you're a fan of the show Netflix characters, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one, where like the real paint job bathroom and the thing we already quoted. Lady luck. The rewatchability makes it funnier and funnier. How would you rank season 3? I mean, I guess
it's been I've given a lot of thought to it.
In the terms of his output. I think is 2 the best? Is Is one the best still? I mean,
I think
one?
It's hard to say. And Brittany Brown, who's a huge I Think You Should Leave fan and has been on our podcast a bunch of times, me and her have been trying to like place this season. And it doesn't have the major home runs that season two has. And I would say like the major home runs would be Carl Havoc, Coffin Flop, and the Ghost Tour, which are all three in the first episode.
Front loaded. I would put Bob Odenkirk in there.
Oh yeah, triples. Triples are best.
With,
but this has more consistent kind of like doubles and triples. So to me, I actually think like top to bottom, I think season three will look back at as the strongest of them. They're also a little more surreal. The show's always had like a level of surrealism to it, but these are more situational comedies and kind of situational sketches, and then surrealism, it kind of goes to another level. Like I'm even thinking of the Shirt Brothers sketch, and just kind of like it's a very complicated approach. Surrealism. Some of these things, it's like, oh, this is kind of they're experimenting more. But then I think just like if you look at and I have a list here of some of my favorites, there's more consistent favorites throughout this season. So I actually think that the show is at its peak right now. I think it gets better as they go along.
It's playing sound baseball. There's more steals. You know, there's more movement. You know, the infield switch is off. So there, you know, there's.
Yeah,
there's better fundamentals. It's not just home runs and strikeouts.
Yeah, we're playing Royals mid 2000s baseball. You know, slap it around, steal a base. You know, drive in the run, work the pitch count. You know.
Yeah, no, I see that. The one thing that stood out to me, with a few exceptions being Pay It Forward, but the celebrity guest stars were doing a lot of heavy lifting. Like every single time, Fred Armisen, big laugh. Will Forte with the ponytail, big laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Meadows using a feather to throw
himself. Oh, how the fuck am I supposed to think of something in 3 seconds?
That
Bullshit.
Was probably my biggest laugh.
I should have been fucking
season.
Barney. It's felt. It's feathery.
The debate that, on the, whether Barney has feathers.
Yeah, his turn. That was my favorite single moment. That was my biggest laugh of the season, just because it was like so out of left field. I feel like any time you get a celebrity guest star, it was money for me. Although I may be on the wrong side of things here, but I've never enjoyed Sam Richardson's contributions.
People, and like, I think people overvalue his stuff because he's such a huge part of the Tim Robinson.
He's a
brand.
National treasure, yeah, for sure. You know,
and
Detroiters,
he, like the Detroiters, and he's been in every season. He's had multiple sketches, but like I'm even thinking back to season one with the Scrooge exoskeleton and the Baby of the Year. I know people are kind of fans of Baby of the Year. I've always I didn't like that. I didn't like the contestant, the Little Buff Boys that he did.
He always does like a game show contestant thing, and this thing with like the metal guy.
Metaloid was lame. I thought it was going to be so funny when I saw the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. The concept, it just makes you giggle thinking about it. But it's the execution, maybe. But yeah, I've read before we turned on the mics, I went through about 5 rankings of all the episodes, and the Baby of the Year was always in the top 5. And even Vulture did a ranking of this season, which I know we'll get your version of. But they had Proposal Park like up
in
like
top
1 or 2.
7, or it was like top 5. Yeah. I was like, Proposal really Park is at the bottom of the list. I hated Proposal Park.
Yeah. So I love Sam Richardson. He when these guys were at Second City, when we were living in Chicago, Between a Barack and a Hard Place was the show, the review. He was the MVP.
He was the best guy. One. Yeah, Sam was kind of like second string. Yeah.
And he's
or Tim.
He's obviously Tim would because I think he didn't come into his own, right? Sam I think was a ready-made star earlier on, and that's been proven from Veep, and now he's kind of a movie star in a way. So in a way, this is almost below him, or not below him, but I think he maybe is rusty. He's an actor now. He's not a sketch comedy guy. You think he doesn't really have the chops. Well, not the chops, but like it's just not within him, and he always just like, oh, we need a Sam bit, and he just like he leans on the contestant
the game
stuff.
Or maybe it's that he's not getting the selection of the A material, and they're asking him to elevate kind of weaker sketches, and he's doing his best.
You don't think he comes in and writes those? You think he's getting that?
I don't know. You think he comes in? He came in with Proposal Park. I don't know
because he seems to like to do that
Proposal,
style.
Like, yeah, the game show.
The VR thing you mentioned real quick. I so saw that going another way. I actually was really excited to see this guy fumble around and fuck up and like actually try to do the game, and then to go the total surreal option, just to freeze up and not know how to breathe in the VR.
I can't work the body. I can't work my own body. It's like I'm all crossed up. So funny, man.
Yeah. Let me quick, because I've got a few here, and then we'll go into your rankings. But just I want to get some of my laughs, and you'll probably agree here. But see, episode 2 is definitely front to back the strongest. I think, don't we start off with like the man, bear, pig, doggy door, the pig with a mix and mask on. Right after that, I think is the nude egg. I think
the nude egg. God.
that is a good one. And then like and then I think pay it forward. I mean, 55 burgers, 55 fries. Mm-hmm. This like the thing that it's always the same script of what they order when.
Yeah, right, she backs script. Up and immediately. So I've got the whole order here. You ready for the whole order?
Yeah, it's here.
55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 tacos, 55 pies, 55 cokes, 100 tater tots, 100 pizzas. 100 tenders, 100 meatballs, 100 coffees, 55 wings, 55 shakes, 55 pancakes, 55 pastas, 55 peppers, and 155 taters. It was like $600.
Yeah, it'd be way more than that.
Yeah, it was like $680. It was like, you're
why
rich,
why is 55 so funny? Because he's like, hey, I'd like to buy for the person behind me's food, and he buys like a little sandwich at In-N-Out or whatever.
Yeah, he's getting a coffee. He's just like rips around. I'm doing something. There's always these car bits.
Season yeah, the two, car bits.
He couldn't
yeah.
drive his car. Yeah, lots of bits. There's so just a few observations before we get back to some of your favorites. Multiple car bits. Multiple hair bits. So you've got like dog hair, you've got ponytail hair, you've got Gelutol. Multiple bits that involve cigars. He's always like doing, and I'm just talking about like the whole show now, but like there's always like cigars happening, whether it's like the Stanza brands and the cigars, or the ponytail guy is obsessed with cigars. And the driving crooner has a cigar, and it's just like and then multiple bits where he's bullied by bachelor parties or frat guys. Like frat guys are always
right.
fucking with him. It's like don't
come
don't.
On, what are you doing? a lot of stuff with clothing too, like the shirt brothers, the fedora hat guy, obviously
Dan Flashes.
He has I mean, these are recurring themes. We've seen like three examples of each. Mm-hmm.
He's always loved hot dog bits, but
you mentioned it already, but Will Forte, the ponytail, someone has parked
on a sidewalk,
so like you pull up into your driveway, but like you're covering the sidewalk portion of your driveway. And the guy is unable to go around.
So he goes
under the car and gets his ponytail caught.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. The heart monitor system where like the doctor just really wants to go to Club Haunted House. I actually want to go to Club Haunted House more than I want to go to Aqua.
he says it like six times.
Yeah. That one made me laugh. And then Tim Meadows, we already mentioned. And then Jason Schwartzman, the can't talk about his kids, kind of a longer form one. I didn't write down exactly where the laugh was, but I think maybe the early portion of that was pretty funny. Maybe you could pick me up on that one, but I remember laughing at some point during the Jason Schwartzman one.
So, I'll take you through my list, and I think Vulture's list is wrong. My list is of course right. I have to say this, otherwise Brecken will be very upset. This was a criminally underrated sketch in the Vulture list. But my number one is Jelly Bean the silent theater actor that's getting harassed by the frat guys. And he's like, I never talk. It's a fucking rake. But the...
That was your number one?
That one made me laugh so fucking hard. Like, them just screaming at him as he's trying to, like, do these terrible pantomime bits. And then just getting screamed at, but he thinks he's this big star. Jellybean, that's Brecken's favorite, and I have to say it's a family top of the list. We love Jellybean. Number two is Egg Game. Egg Game. That one egg was 40 eggs. It's like, I'm not in trouble at all. This isn't porn. This is a nude egg I won in my game. I mean, we should be able to watch a little porn at work. Just the sticking of the landing of that line. But just, like, him trying to play this shitty game, and then it, like, it's got a bush? Like, it just goes, like, so, it goes so sideways so quickly.
The sideways right at the end. No, that, like I said, it's in the top five for me of the show. It's in my chart of laughs. It's number six on this Vulture list, but we've established
it
wrong.
It should be top three. The egg game is incredible. And there's already memes of it, like, on, they have... like Nintendo, like an original Nintendo set, but it's got like the egg game on it and shit.
You're moving these little eggs. It's a total monotonous video game where you're moving eggs into a guy's mouth, and he's like, he's doing it like 80 times and says, you've collected 7 eggs. He's like, what? Seven eggs. So then we do that a few times, but then right at the end where it's like you won the game, and then the guy takes his pants off, he's got a little bush, and then he bends over and shows you his asshole. It's like, and that's what you win. It's called a nude egg. But hilarious.
The egg's butthole. He said these fuming mad associates that, like, he's like not communicating well within their division. He's fucking up everyone's job, but he's just sitting there. And then just the visual gag of his mouse just continuously trying to sweep the eggs in. Yeah. To he's like, what? That one egg was 40 eggs? Just, I don't know, man. That's fucking
I admire the animation to create the game whatever. I think it's my favorite non-celebrity guest star. Sketch. Okay. But yeah, let's keep going.
So number three for me was Driving Crooner. His physicality in that sketch is so funny. And then again, the guy pulling up, he's like, I know that there's stickers on there, Driving. I'm gonna kill you, Driving Crooner.
He loves the Crooner Rat Pack thing. Yeah. He goes back to it constantly. Fedora wearing.
Yeah, Howie in season one, where he's the Paul Bufano and the party game sketch where he keeps putting in like these old timey music stars. It's like, yeah, he loves that shit. I love old stuff. Only come if you like old stuff. Don't come to try to make me talk. I don't want to talk. So
that's number three for
you. Love Driving Crooner. And then Ronnie Zipline. Oh my God. Ronnie Zipline, dude. And then they come back to it later in the season.
A great send-up of the Bachelor, Bachelorette franchises. This guy who's just doesn't want to be there, only wants to enjoy the zipline at the, what do we call it?
The mansion. And then he's getting eliminated, and he's like bailing out, trying to stay so he can go on the zipline more. And she even brings... He keeps getting in fights with Mike from Adventure 365, and they have like a little spat where he's like, he keeps pulling on the rope. He keeps wrenching on the rope. And he's like, shut the fuck up, Mike. So and then it almost reminds me a little bit of one of my favorite sketches, which was the Nacho sketch, where he keeps trying to like double down to dig himself out of a situation. So he's like, when I go home, there's something that's not good for me. And she's like, is there actually something? It's like, I don't know. He just keeps saying like, I want to stay and I love you. Didn't you just say to Frank yesterday that you want to be alone for the rest of your life? I don't know. But it reminded me a lot of what he was trying to dig himself out from the Nacho sketch. But just the visual of him just straight face, just so deadly focused. On that zip line is just such a great visual gag, and it's one of my favorite parts about the show is just adults acting like children, just adults acting like toddlers in general is a staple of I Think You Should Leave, and that was such a great sketch as an example.
Let's get your let's finish up the top five.
Dharma and Doggy Door, we've talked about it already, but believing in monsters, my whole life got flipped upside down. Believing that monsters were real for 50 seconds, that was just fucking great. Pay It Forward Car Line, we talked about, but that's going to be something. Just 155 Taters, loved that. Barley Tonight, the cell phone guy. I got an alarm on my phone. I got a black phone with a black case. And then just the more you watch it, the funnier it gets, where there's just like different sight gags of him checking the battery on his phone and it's got 99% on it. And
just like, yeah. Okay.
And then just explaining the detail of how he's not worried about new phones coming out at all because he's got it all backed up on his computer and he's just like just explaining just how a phone works was really funny. One that I think is really underrated is the HR class banana breath lady. That reminded me a lot of Ruben Rubasa and the stinky car that how about a steering wheel that doesn't even fly out of your hands while you're driving?
That was the focus group sketch, right?
Yeah. Well, that was the focus group in season one with this weird guy that's Paul and the mother-in-law. But this one kind of reminded me of that in similar themes, but just this lady who tells one joke and wants to celebrate it and make t-shirts. And like, if you go to Etsy right now, there's all sorts of HR 2023 computer that says learn respect and it says back off banana breath on it. It's so, I just back off banana breath. What the hell did you just eat, a banana? So fucking funny. And then I'll just give you the rest of the list and tell me whether you think I'm nuts or not. But number nine was the heart monitor sketch. And look at the chains! Oh my god! I gotta check to see if there's a trap door around here. Stop trying to tell me that you're jerking off when you're actually at Club Aqua. Just like lying that you're jerking off instead of like dancing very aggressively at a party. Very funny. Dog hair.
Very relatable for you.
Very relatable. And then the rest of them are just kind of like the middle ones, some of the like sneaky, underrated ones, VR shopping spree, sitcom taping with the limo,
Elena
limo scam, sidewalk ponytail, team building where the guy is like really aggressive because he starts throwing the fake water because he was told that he has Rick is his enemy. And then Shirt Brothers, right. Tim Meadows was in the middle. Gel You Tall Hair, I thought that had some moments that were pretty funny. And then kind of the ones that I really didn't like towards the end, the Conor O'Malley, I did not like Tasty Time vids.
No, that was probably my least favorite.
Yeah, and that's like
Ultra really has this one. As number five.
Yeah, way overrated. I did not like Tasty Time vids. I hated Metaloid. Dirty Songs was bad. Dirty Songs.
Yeah.
There was one moment that was kind of like laugh friendly where he's like, oh, I forget the lyrics, but I think it has something to do with he fucks the dog, then the dog eats the cum, and like that was.
I enjoy Dirty Limericks as much as the next guy, but unless the next guy's Bob Handel. But yeah, I mean, yeah, just what kind of fell flat immediately. The Tasty Time vids, I'll say that it comes towards the end of the series, and there's been a lot of just yelling until it's funny stuff, And that guy comes in too late, and he's just screaming the whole time. I was like,
he's pounding on the table. He's like all jacked up. Yeah, I think maybe you're right in that it comes after you're kind of a little worn down by a lot of that manic energy at the top. And I also don't think it's very funny. Like the Frankenstein's chick bit, like it's something that they come back to a bunch, and it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't want to critique it too hard. You know that the Tim Robinson's comedy or anything, but like there's a lot of he does something goofy that society doesn't really accept and people call him on it and then he yells at those people and then it just becomes like a yelling back and forth. That's a little bit too much of a trope that I've seen, but that's really the only thing. And it just that was the worst example of that because it was someone other than Tim doing it and not doing it as well.
And that guy's been in some really great sketches. Like he was in the Palm Tree Girls Like Palm Tree Guys and Moon River Rock, Moon River Roll. He was in the Honk If You're Horny sketch. He's done a bunch that have really worked. He's the main guy in Calico Cut Pants that he has the website. So he normally comes in with some great bits that one just didn't work for me. And then Proposal Park, I freaking hated. So
that
was kind of
really,
my top and my bottom.
Frontier, I had towards the bottom as well.
It's got 200 friends.
Yeah, I mean, it was not the worst one, but just no real laughs coming up there. You didn't think overall,
at the end when he slaps the table and he farts? It kind of saves a little bit.
It saves a little bit, yeah, because like it's a really smelly fart. And that kind of...
Do you need some water?
I know, it's bad. It's okay. But yeah, that it's solid. Like you said, a lot of B pluses, a lot of A minuses, and maybe no home runs, but maybe we'll look back and overall it will grade out as maybe the better ones.
Yeah, I had 18 winners, so that's
okay.
Eighteen to 26 is pretty good, and then even like street sets will give you a moment here or there. Fucking street, I paid $15,000 for this. So I think they like a line or two that give you a chuckle.
I mean, excellent transition. Honestly, we don't have to call it there or anything, but we're talking, I Think You Should Leave, and kind of we're going to do a little Barry, but the through line for me of these two shows is that Fred Armisen almost had my favorite moment in both series.
Yeah.
Because the episode in Barry where he's like, that guy's trying to kill me. And it's just, he's just enraged, just like obviously there to be an assassin.
Yeah, just wearing it all on his face.
But any final thoughts on I Think You Should Leave? I mean, I know it's a big moment for you. And
yeah, I kind of came shot out of a cannon. Thank everybody for allowing me to get all my feelings out. Yeah, I hope we did the show a little bit of justice. I'm going to watch this for several more months. I'm going to, if anyone that's listening is in the South Florida area, in August, I will be having an I Think You Should Leave birthday party bar crawl. So bring your I Think You Should Leave costumes. But I'm a huge fan, man. I love it. It gives me... I love quotable comedy. It's been such a huge part of my personality ever since I was in my adolescence. But if you give me something to quote, yeah, I love it.
I mean, this is like... What else is out there that's...
What else?
Know,
yeah.
Quotable
what
comedy?
Other... No one's... People seem way more connected to this little show than they are anything that happens through the entire season of SNL. And that's the only other sketch that exists. And then no one's making or generating any sort of comedy in the film space. So this is what we have. This is the one little comedy oasis that we have in entertainment right now.
Any Halloween ideas right off the bat from the season?
Yeah, I mean, there's no layups like Carl Havoc, but I think Ronnie Zipline would be a really funny if you just got like a water shirt and then like board shorts and then just carried around a zipline all the time. That could be kind of
Jelly
funny.
Bean.
Jelly Bean, he just kind of looks like an old timey actor, so it'd be hard to tell. I think the dog hair ears guy, he thinks he's getting a haircut. Trust me, I watch it and I'm like, okay. On the third time through, I'm like, okay, that's a Halloween sketch idea, but. The dog hair ears where he thinks he's getting Bryan Cranston's haircut and then he gets dog hair.
That's a great one. That's probably the best option. Just something recognizable. Because otherwise you're like, all right, you know, you just you show up in just like a regular button up and it's like, what are you supposed to be, Bob? Well, come out to my car and watch me drive.
Gotta make money on this.
Yeah, no, great. Solid season, some good laughs, and it's nice to have, some comedy out there. That's because, you know, other than like watching Simpsons, Seinfeld reruns, or just watching YouTube clips with our buddy Greg at his house in Rockefeller Center. There's not much else to like. I can't think of anything to kind of. Comedy Bang Bang, a friend of mine just mentions she's watching, but I don't know.
Is that the girl that hates I Think You Should Leave? Can't watch I Think You Should Leave with people that aren't already on board at this point. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It's definitely kind of a club of enthusiasts.
But I have heard people say, this girl from work, her boyfriend came around, and the more she watched it, he was like, actually, that's pretty funny. Oh, and then like it crept into his TikTok, and then all of a sudden, now he's in. Now they're in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, slowly but surely.
Like a really catchy ad. I'm thinking of Seinfeld, where it's like, by Menon, Costanza. Just creeps your way in. You just like, and it's in your brain. And then it's like, once it's fun to quote, then you're like, oh, wait, that was funny. I didn't laugh initially, but it's fun to quote now. And now it's fun. All right, well, let's wrap it up there. Yeah, I know that you have a discussion with
Spencer Davis.
Your friend Spencer Davis on the show Barry. We'll do a deep dive with Bob and Spencer a bit later, but I got in just a bit late, but I watched the entire season yesterday. I watched the pilot weeks ago. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's half-hour episodes, and then it's like watching a 2.5-3-hour movie. Yeah, so I'd watched the pilot and then kind of just forgot about it and went to Vietnam. I came back and I wanted to watch the Ken Burns Vietnam series, which is 18 hours long. So kind of been sidetracked with stuff like that, but went back to it. Me and you have been big fans of the whole series as it goes darker and darker. That's why that Fred Armisen bit staring across the table was such a fun, like, oh yeah, this used to be a comedy. You kind of, because you get caught up in the plot, like, you know, it's pretty dark stuff. But they do squeeze in some funny stuff there that kind of a little levity. I know like the time jump is going to be controversial. It's just like, what was that episode 5 where it's like all of a sudden they jump 8 years, and it's just that episode was a slog for me. I mean, I kind of like where it got us and kind of how it ended up wrapping everything up when he goes back to LA, but like that one standalone, I was like, what are we doing here?
Where she's getting blackmailed by the guy that wants to get blown by her, and he's got like her life story in his hands, like that episode. Yeah, like all the kind of like wherever town Midwest that they're in, and kind of their life as they're doing it, and kind of Barry finding Jesus and all that. That's the episode.
Were you on board with, I mean, that's kind of like the big turning point of the season.
Yeah,
it was a real record scratch for me. I was like, oh, I'm having so much fun. It's like, okay, this, we're building, you know, a lot of drama, some funny moments, some nice Fuchs and Barry stuff. And, you know, he's not just furious all the time, which I didn't really enjoy towards the end of season 3, you know, because he's completely off the walls. Like, kind of, when he's more deadpan and, you know, he's just trying to be an actor when the show was found. I mean, I enjoyed the quieter moments where we kind of bring in some comedy and we kind of forget that this guy's a total sociopath a little bit, because
mm-hmm.
It does get pretty dark. But so we're and then that just kind of like, wow, okay, oh, now we're in the middle of the desert, and they're really going down a different direction, and it was pretty startling. And and yeah, like I said, I like where it kind of got us in the end, but that was kind of a
mm-hmm. There was in this season, obviously, like the comedy kind of evolves, because it's parody when it first starts, and it's funny when if you go back and listen to our review of season 1, we're celebrating moments where Barry's trying to do Glengarry Glen Ross, and he's like, first prize a Cadillac Eldorado, second prize a set of steak knives, third prize you're fired, you know. But he's like it's all these shitty actors basically doing impressions of movies that have already been done, but calling it acting class. And Gene Cousineau is, you know, I'll suck your dick if that's not the best chicken you've ever had. And it was goofy, you know, but like, yeah, also had like some of these, you know, traces of kind of dark moments. And then, you know, it's kind of, it flipped on its head, and it was mostly dark with traces of kind of goofy comedy towards the end. And a lot of the comedy in the end was like sight gags, like Barry walking in and being like, guns, and the person looking up from a magazine and being like, well, which ones, you know. And then it's like him trying to get in his car with all these fucking machine guns and stuff, and he's awkwardly trying to get in because he has so many guns, and it's like a visual bit like that. It wasn't as goofy. And then, you know, or you watch like a scene where the where NoHo Hank is trying to shoot a missile at a mansion and he misses, and there's this kind of, you know, Benny Hill thing happening. And it's like, so it wasn't as direct as it used to be. It was a little more abstract.
Yeah, I mean, Gene Cousineau was always I think the best part about the show. Mm-hmm. And so when we're kind of getting goofy with Henry Winkler, and he's got some nice scenes to play with, he's trying to be all incandescent or secretive under the bridge in the woods, and it's like, oh, Daniel Day-Lewis, And he's immediately just, he can't resist himself. He can't resist.
Yeah, that's what undoes him, is the is the Daniel Day-Lewis lure there. And he's like, oh, well, Daniel will know what to do with my character. He'll understand. Oh, Mark Wahlberg? Okay. And it's like, it like sucks him back in. His ego is just, it's too big of a laser beam to him. So he's they knew exactly how to get some details out of Gene, even though it's inaccurate. That's a lot of the themes of the show, is that, you know, through performance or creating, sometimes you can build false narratives in your head, or you can even build, you know, false realities and stories. And so, like, Sally basically falsifies her life experience in order to find success and starts living, you know, a different life, and basically acts for many years on the run with Barry, is basically acting in a different life. And, you know, so it's, and then the people that are able to come to terms with themselves, or at least be honest about themselves, those are the people that are spared in the show. And the people that aren't are the ones that, you know, don't make it in the end. So,
yeah, no, there's definitely some good themes touched on. And there's definitely some depth to a lot of these characters that we've been following for better part of a decade. Well, it's been in production for a decade, but I think the past four seasons. I think ultimately it will go down as a success, and kind of announcing Bill Hader as not only an SNL star, funny man, but a great writer, director, actor, of dramedy.
I wish more people would take stuff like this. I wish more people would dive in and kind of have a four season story that they told and, you know, challenge themselves and stretched. I hope that continues to happen, and that's one of the benefits of the streaming and all of the money that's gone towards it. It's really an experimental place, and this is a really cool show. Spencer talks about it in our next conversation, but, you know, you can really sit down and watch all four seasons in a matter of a weekend, you know, basically like 15 or 16 hours, probably in less time it took you to watch that Ken Burns documentary. You can watch all four seasons of Barry in like that. So it's not as much as if you were going to go watch Mad Men for a second time, or Sopranos, and you're going to be there for months. Like, it's an in and out. It has things to say. It's thrilling. It's scary in different times. It has great acting, great themes, fun characters. It's really hard to say anything negative about the show, besides maybe a couple of creative choices they took with the time jump.
Yeah, no, and I miss the half hour comedy dramedies. You know, I mean, Silicon Valley and this, you know, are the ones that come to mind.
They pack so much into them too.
Yeah, and they're well made, and then, you know, both HBO shows. But it's nice to, like, okay, yeah, you got your Successions and your Last of Us, and, you know, these prestige hour dramas. That's why I liked White Lotus so much. I mean, I know it's 45 to an hour, but, you know, there's some comedy there. But yeah, it's nice to have, like, to break it up into, to have like Barry being your appetizer to your Succession. You know what I mean? You don't have to just wait a week and just, like, really kind of be mentally drained from this emotional roller coaster every single time. It's nice to have some levity in there with so many other shows. You know, I mean, Simpsons been on forever. Like, who watches that anymore?
Rob Grabowski.
Office is gone. Parks and Rec is gone. Like, where's our fun shows? You know,
I think
it's
you
so much
be.
Prestige. Yeah. Well, there you go. Hey. Nice call back there, Bob. That's great. Sketch writing. We'll have to have you on the show. All right, cool, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in and joining us.
Absolutely.
It was fun to chat with Bob. I saw his hands the entire time we were recording, by the way, guys. So,
except for the last couple minutes. But anyway. Yeah, thank you, guys. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button, and we will see you down the road. Bye.
Bye.
Shoe on the bed. Make up my mouth, girl. Your face in the mirror.
It's a dangerous night.
Calling on the phone. Ready to laugh. Ready to run and die. Hands getting slapped.
It's a dangerous night.